Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, host of the Post Up Podcast and also editor-in-chief of the Bird Rights, David Grubb. Dave, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Always glad to be on with you guys.
David, I think you've heard it like me. Man, the fix was on last night. Nobody can win a lottery with 1.8%. My thing is, and I don't buy tickets much for a Powerball or lottery, but if I had a 1.8% chance to win every time I went, I might buy a few more. I mean, you don't even have that when you go buy a Powerball and a lottery ticket. But for Dallas, you know, they lost the trade. But, boy, did they win the consolation prize now. And with their efforts now, they're going to be able to get Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge moment for the Dallas Mavericks. They've only picked – this is only their second number one pick in the history of their franchise. And the last one worked out pretty well for them, too, in Mark Aguirre back in 1980. And I'm sure you remember Mark Aguirre very well. So it worked out for the Mavericks. I too, I'm not really one for conspiracy theories. I think sometimes the draft just works this way. I get why people do, because there are such, you know, dramatic changes in certain years. But, you know, folks in New Orleans got to remember, too, the Pelicans have benefited twice from jumping up in the lottery to get the number one pick in years that they weren't expected to do so. And if the NBA was looking to reward New Orleans for certain things, it hasn't really worked out. And the number one pick guarantees you nothing. How many number one picks have actually won with that franchise? So, you know, if the NBA were really doing this to make sure number one picks won things, you'd see a lot more number one picks winning championships with the team that draft them.
David, one of the guys, it got brought up yesterday. We had Mark King on, who's one of the chief scouts for the NBA, and also Tavon Sadler, who's the head basketball coach at Nicholls State, but he was also heavily involved with Maryland, about Derek Queen. Now, he's a big man, but both of them brought up that he would be a nice fit. I don't know if he could get to seven. He might. But your thoughts on picking another big man for this team with that seventh overall pick, and in particular, Queen from Maryland?
I like Derek Queen. The guys that he's been compared to range from, like, DeMarcus Cousins, who certainly Pelicans fans are familiar with, and the versatility that he brings. I think the question for Queen is his rebounding. He did not rebound at an elite level at college, and I'm always one who you look at rebounding, it tends to be, for big men, it's the one skill that always translates. If you can rebound at the collegiate level, you can rebound at the NBA level, and you'd like to see that be a little higher. But if the offensive potential is there, and I think that you need someone to pair with Yves Mesi, who is far more limited offensively around the basket, at that seventh pick, he's an option. I don't know if he's the best option for the Pelicans, but he's absolutely one of the three or four players if the Pelicans stay at seven. And I'm not 100% sure they will, but I think if they stay at seven, he's one of the three or four players you absolutely have to consider.
Well, that was my question actually for you, David, because as soon as the Pelicans dropped three spots from four to seven and got the second worst possible pick, and really, in all honesty, it was like a 2% chance to fall to eight. So it was the worst realistic possible pick that they could have ended up with at seven. I mean, do they keep this pick? I know it's a month and a half out from the actual draft, and we got time to discuss this for, you know, once again, the next month or so. But do you think that the Pelicans will use the seventh overall pick in the draft, or will they use it in a trade this offseason?
I am really still eyeing the number two pick. I still think it's in play, because when you look at the Spurs, they've been mentioned as one of the teams going after Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? So if the Pelicans, with those two Bucks picks, get into a three-way deal with the Spurs, I think there's a chance the Pelicans could claim that two pick this year as part of that trade to give up one of those or both of those, depending on what the overall haul is, Bucks picks back to Milwaukee. Milwaukee really wants those picks in order to, if they're going to give up Giannis, because they don't have control of their picks for basically the next 5 years. So they need to get something back. So I think the two is still in play. And then, you know, as far as they fell, you have to remember 1, 2, and 3 also fell as well. So what do the Hornets want to do at 4? What do the Jazz want to do at 5? And what do, you know, at 6 the Wizards want to do? All of them may not be interested in drafting a 19-year-old this year, because they are already, you know, they've been tanking the last 2 years. They may want change direction in that case. So I think that the Pelicans could move up a little bit, or they could move up a lot. And if the deal isn't there this year, you have a very talented, and I think the next year's draft class is more talented than this year's. If you can find a lottery pick next year and move back in this year's draft, I think there's still value to be had, and especially if you can secure a pick in next year's draft that's higher up. Because I think next year's draft is an amazingly deep and talented draft.
David, two questions for you. One, what is the biggest need going into this offseason for the Pelicans, in your opinion? And secondly, it's not a question of if Giannis gets traded. It's just where he ends up at this stage. Could you see a possibility here that they can't do it with one team and it would be sort of a three-way deal involving Giannis? So I'll ask you first about biggest need for the Pelicans this offseason. And in a Giannis trade, is this going to be a one-on-one type deal with a team, or would they have to bring in a third party?
Yeah, you know, the Pelicans' biggest need is size and athleticism. They were destroyed on the boards last season, as bad a rebounding team as you're going to see. And then defensively, there was nothing as far as rim protection goes, and just the ability to stop teams from getting to the rim at will. So they have to get bigger and taller. There were times on the court where the Pelicans looked like a collegiate basketball team compared to some of the monsters that you see in the league. And as you look around right now in the playoffs, an Oklahoma City team with two giants up front, a Nikola Jokic in the middle in Denver, Miles Turner doing a lot of damage in that Pacers series, and then the Pacers, the Cavs getting to where they are with that double big front court and Jared Allen and Mobley. It's just, it's a league that's getting taller and more athletic in the front court again, and so the Pelicans need to catch up there. As far as Giannis, as I said, they have to make a three-team deal if you're the Bucks, because they've got to get picks and they have to get cheaper. You know, they've got three players. If you're talking about Giannis, Kyle Kuzma, and Damian Lillard, and Damian Lillard won't even play for them next year due to his Achilles injury, the injury that he suffered in the playoffs. He's going for the year. That's $130 million of the $164 million cap for those three players for the Bucks. So if they're going to trade Giannis, they need picks back in return. Only a third team can give them that, that are going to give them the kind of picks that they need. So I think that it's absolutely – this is why the Pelicans still have power. I think that what happened in the lottery was certainly a disappointment, but it's not a disaster when you look at the history of this franchise, and in particular Troy Weaver and Joe Dumars, two guys who have been active in trading players within the draft over their careers. And then you have Bryson Graham, who's done a great job of identifying talent. I think the Pelicans will be a major player no matter what in any Giannis deal.
David, we talked about it was a disappointment. Ain't disappointment in San Antonio. Charlie and I were talking about this off the air. They got the 2nd and the 14th overall pick in this draft. You know, this team here, they got a little bit of the rabbit's foot sitting in the right pocket. You know, you didn't get the 1st overall pick, but you sort of sitting in the catbird seat at 2, and you also have 14. This could be a major, major offseason for the Spurs, and we know they got one piece set in place, and Wimby's going to be there a long, long time in San Antonio. This is a team to really keep a close eye on in the 2025 offseason.
And, of course, they're in the West.
You would figure.
Yeah, and they're in your division.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the hardest thing for Pelicans fans to swallow, is that in your division now, you've got the Mavericks getting Cooper Flagg. You've got the Spurs with the flexibility. And has anybody been more, like you said, lucky than the Spurs? You go back to David Robinson in 87. You had to wait a year for him after, you know, finished his naval service. But you had David Robinson in 87. You get Tim Duncan in 97. You get Victor Wembanyama. And they also have, let's not forget, this stockpile of young players like a Stephon Castle, who's, they've had back-to-back rookies of the year in Stephon Castle and Wembanyama. You still got Jeremy Sohan. You've got Keldon Johnson. So they have all these young players and two picks in this first round to make deals. So, yeah, this is a huge offseason for the Spurs. And then, of course, you've got the Rockets in the division as well, who just came off a 50-win season, and they have the flexibility to go out and make a major deal. Of course, they're talked about as one of the destinations possibilities for Kevin Durant, which would be a huge upgrade for them, or maybe a Devin Booker as well. So the division is not getting any easier, certainly for the Pelicans. And the Western Conference is just turning into a deeper and deeper gauntlet for anybody to try to come out of for the next 5 to 10 years.
David, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always great insights. Love to have you on to talk NBA and also Pelicans. And, you just get a feeling when you see that the Lakers sort of slip a little bit, the Clippers, who knows where they end up. Then what you got? The Rockets, you got Dallas, you got San Antonio. They all sort of piecing all this together. Man, you better step up your game and quickly if you're the Pelicans.
And let's not forget Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, too.
Talented, and they've got plenty of number one picks over the next few years, too. Yeah. So it's not going to get any easier.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, bud.
Thank you, guys.
All righty. David Grubb does a great job covering the NBA.